The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The US President Donald Trump has repeated his suggestion that a deal with Iran could be close, while also renewing his threat to strike Iranian power plants. There have also been reports that he would be willing to end the war without reopening the Strait of Hormuz. I'm joined now by Richard Sheriff, who's a former deputy commander of NATO forces in Europe. Richard, you're very welcome to the programme. Good morning to you.
Good morning and thanks for having me.
Now, I see President Trump, it's reported in the London Times, privately suggested he might end the war while keeping Iran in control of the strait. The problem with that, according to what I'm seeing here in the Times, is that his Gulf allies will view that as a betrayal. So because he's gone in, he needs to defeat Iran completely or he leaves the entire thing in a mess. Do you agree with that analysis?
I do. I mean, he's broken it. He's got to fix it. Or he and Netanyahu have broken it. They've got to fix it. And the reality is that so long as Iran is blocking the Strait of Hormuz, Trump is losing, despite the overwhelming bombing force that Israel and America have been hammering the Iranians with.
So for those who have been left behind, you would have them led into this situation by the United States and Israel, devastated by it, but there's no resolution. Nothing has been solved. So again, we see, and this has become apparent, hasn't it, in recent weeks, it's very, very difficult for him to reverse out of this in a way that is viewed as being in any way successful.
The only way that he can reverse out of it, it seems to me, is to negotiate with the Iranians. But he's doing so from a position, despite America's overwhelming strength and being, you know, the global superpower, actually, they're in a really weak position. The Iranians, as I say, have, you know, forgive my French here, but they've got Trump by the short and curlies over the Strait of Hormuz. And all he can do is almost accede to Iranian demands. And we've seen what the Iranian 5 points are. And that will mean capitulation by Trump, capitulation by America. And that will be a hammer blow to American prestige and the way it's America is viewed around the world. And even then, Iran will be left as the sovereign controller of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, you mentioned the Gulf states. Of course, they have been hammered by Iran. This is a regional war. Their economies have been really put on shaky ground by the war and the, you know, the implications for security. But it seems, as I say, the only way is some form of negotiated settlement.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know whether that's happening or not. I mean, Donald Trump has said time and time again over the last week to 10 days, oh yeah, the Iranians are talking to us. But we can't find out whether that's true or not because the Iranians consistently deny that it's happening. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't think you can trust anything coming out of Trump's mouth, and I don't think you can really trust anything coming from Tehran. I mean, you know, this is it's of course in their interest to do that, but it comes back to the fact that while they're sitting on the Strait of Hormuz, Trump is losing, and he is huffing and puffing, threatening Armageddon on the Iranians if they don't open up the Strait. But they won't shift, they won't budge, and so Trump's left in this bind. He either escalates even more. But that isn't going to achieve the aim. I mean, he might put Marines and airborne troops ashore. They might have an impact on the immediate environs of the Strait of Hormuz. But the Iranians can still lob drones over the top from deep inland and control the strait. Does that mean Trump's got to march on Tehran, occupy Iran, conquer Iran and control it? Yeah, I mean, the implications of that are just unbelievable, frankly, and politically and militarily inconceivable. Although, frankly, nowadays with Trump, you never say never. I mean, anything can happen.
I suppose what we don't know is, well, there's a lot we don't know, but we don't know how much Iran has in the tank. How much more can Iran withstand?
Absolutely. But the fact is that despite all the talk from Trump and Israel about the destruction of Iranian military capability, they keep lobbing missiles. You know, we hear that their missile stocks have been used up, and yet more missiles come in and take out American airplanes at Prince Saud Air Base and cause American casualties. And the fact is also that they've got this, they can generate huge quantities of cheap drones. And don't forget that they're being supported and supplied by the Russians as well, who are also giving the Iranians targeting information. Mm-hmm. So this war is you know, there are linkages with what's going on with the Russia-Ukraine war as well.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point that you raise, because I see that US paratroopers are arriving now in the Middle East. And if there is engagement on the ground between Iran and these US military personnel who are arriving, that provides a great distraction, both for Russia, but also for China, right?
Absolutely. And it means America is getting fixed deeply in a quagmire in the Middle East, which is going to allow. And I mean, the impact on the Ukraine war is that Putin is gaining in this. He's gaining with the oil price, although the Russian economy's got deep and major structural issues. And they've had, 40% of their oil exports destroyed and interdicted by the Ukrainians, with some brilliant strikes in recent days. But the fact is also that the attention of the world is on Iran, and American missile stocks and counter-missile capabilities are being gobbled up in great quantities. The Americans use something like three days worth of drones. In 3 days, they use as many drones or more Patriots anti-missile missiles than they'd used, than they'd given the Ukrainians in 4 years. And meanwhile, China sits back and let the Americans, you know, the old Napoleonic maxim of never interrupt your enemy while he's making a mistake. Well, Trump's making plenty of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And what about Israel in all of this? Because if Donald Trump decides in the next 24 hours, I'm done with this, and pulls out completely, there's no accounting for what Israel may do. All the signs are that they want to continue, particularly in South Lebanon, in their targeting of Hezbollah.
I think the Israeli war aim, such as it is pretty basic and pretty simple and chillingly so. They just want to remove any possibility of Iran being the threat that it has been to Israel for 49 years. And that's a fair one, in a sense that, you know, Iran has been the principal opposition and threat to the state of Israel. But if that, and as far as the Israelis concerned, if that leaves Iran a failed state in smoldering ruins with thousands killed, I don't think the Israelis give a damn.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it interesting that J.D. Vance has been pretty quiet? Now, I know he has issued denials around these claims that he was not in favour of this conflict. But it is interesting how quiet he has been. He's not a man known to be quiet. Do you think that there is disharmony within the American administration at the very highest levels over this decision to go to war with Iran?
To be honest, Claire, I don't think I can really comment on that. Suffice it to say that I think there would be, you know, not that there is, I'm sure, disquiet in America as a whole about this. Yes, the MAGA supporters will probably be saying, go for it, bring it on. But I know there are millions of Americans who will be absolutely horrified by the quagmire that they see Trump getting themselves into in the Middle East.
Well, we've had the IMF warning on the potential impact of the conflict for the world economy. You know, we spoke at the beginning about, you know, trying to reverse out of this mess. But with every day that passes, it looks more and more difficult to do that. What is the off-ramp, Richard? What do you see as being the way out of this for the Americans?
I think the only way is to recognize they've got to negotiate properly with the Iranians and back off. And that means humiliation for America, or certainly for Trump. I think there is a role for other countries here. I think there is absolutely a role for Europe and other international players, in order to separate from the Americans. We absolutely don't want to get involved with what they're doing, but to try and broker some form of deal for the sake of the global economy, because we're all feeling it.
Mm-hmm. But as those paratroopers arrive in the Middle East, like, once that happens, and there was a lot of talk over the last couple of days that that was a negotiating tactic being used by the Americas, you know, by the Americans. Look what we have here. Look what we can do. But if Iran continues to ignore that, it becomes more of a reality and then it becomes self-fulfilling. They're there. What do they do there? They have to be active. Can Trump resist not having them active in the Middle East? Once that begins, we're even deeper in the quagmire.
I'm afraid you're right. There is a dynamic about this which is sort of ratcheting up remorselessly. And as you say, once you've got your troops in place, I think one of the reasons things have stalled for the last week has been, another of the reasons is that Trump has been saying, oh, negotiations are going great, we're near a plan, and he keeps extending deadlines, is to wait until he's got what he believes is sufficient troops in place to launch some form of military operation to open up the Strait of Hormuz. But as I say, I think it's a really, really difficult one. And as an ex-soldier, they'll know it's all very well to secure a coastline or a very small part of the coastline or an island. But the fact is the Iranians can keep lobbing drones over the top from deep inland. And that doesn't necessarily open up the Strait of Hormuz, which brings us back to negotiation. Mm-hmm. But having landed troops on Iranian territory, islands, and even perhaps the shoreline, America's in it up to its neck. And the implications for all of us are very long term.
What if there was an American-led operation, American operation, to try and seize control of the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I think that is probably what's going to happen. But as I say, I think it's a very, very difficult, dangerous operation. And I don't think, you know, all the odds are stacked against it. I'm afraid there are parallels here with what happened in Gallipoli in 1915.
And take us through how you would see this playing out if Donald Trump were to use his troops to try and take the strait. What do you foresee happening?
I see the Iranians responding in force. I see large numbers of American casualties. And I think one thing to launch a special forces or a Green Beret or other commando raid on, say, a Iranian facility storing mini submarines to take them out. And you could do that. Difficult, dangerous. Mm-hmm. But they could probably do a quick in-out.
So option two is negotiation and humiliation for Donald Trump.
Option two is, and just before I finish that first point, you can do a quick in-out, but to hold the Strait of Hormuz long-term means occupying a significant swathe of Iran deep inland. And I don't think the Americans are up for that. And the alternative, as you say, is negotiation and humiliation.
Richard, a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for bringing us your expertise. That is Richard Sheriff.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.